one of the comments submitted by the GNSO Council was relative to policy support, if you're interested. Next. We are in June. Our fiscal year, as most of you know, finishes in a few days of June. Our FY15 fiscal year. We wanted to provide a quick overview as to where we think our financials are going to land at the end of the fiscal year. We have a process in ICANN to produce forecasts on a recurring basis. We are here showing the forecast that we produced a couple months ago on the basis of 10 months of actual activity, adding 2 months of forecasted information. The bottom line of this, I won't go necessarily in a lot of details about it, the bottom line of this is we are within the budget of both revenues and expenses, very slightly below in both cases. Our revenue, as you can see, we're projecting it to be at 103 million versus the 104 budgeted, and the expenses to be about at 100 million versus the 101 budgeted for. To be honest, if at the beginning of any year anyone would tell me that we would arrive that close to the budget, I would sign up for it each time. There is two lines on this that indicate, that speak about USG transition. The third line from the top is the amount of costs that we're expecting to incur relative to USG transition in the fiscal year. You can see an amount of 7.9 million on the left column in the forecast column. If you, for those of you who participated into the process, the funds that we are spending on the USG transition are taken out of the reserve fund of ICANN. We have withdrawn from the reserve fund a certain amount of costs to date, which is 1.5 million, bottom of the slide, and we will withdraw from the reserve fund the complement between the 1.5 million and expected 7.9 million that will be spent. So the burden on the reserve fund of ICANN of the USG transition project so far, it will be basically about 8 million. The reserve fund today is about 89 million. Next slide. So there's a lot of information in there. This is simply an overview of the spend on the USG transition project, broken down by the various tracks and the categories of costs. At a high level, we are after 11 months of activity, so from July last year to the end of May this year, which is the last time we closed the books and have actual information. After 11 months, we spent 7 million. We have a budget for 12 months of 7 million. So it is likely that we're going to exceed a little bit this budget. The information on this is that throughout the year, we were trailing much below the budget. And over the more recent months, we have increased the spend, driven notably by the legal advice, the independent legal advice that has been provided to the CWG and the CCWG. Any questions on the forecast or on the USG transition costs? Yes.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I was initially a little concerned that 1.1 million is not a very big contingency fund given the amount of change that we're anticipating over the next year. But my understanding is if the IANA transfer process starts burning more money, you'll just take it from the reserve rather than the contingency fund. Is that correct?
Yes, in substance is correct. If the amount of funds required is relative to the project itself.
Right.
If we are talking then about increased cost of the organization as a result of implementing changes that came from the transition. For example, different accountability mechanisms that would be permanent and that it would increase the cost base of ICANN, we will need to rethink that. And that shouldn't be the reserve fund.
Right. You have to factor that into the budget then.
Right.
But that'll be next year, not this year.
Correct.
Right.
And just a quick correction. I think the 1.1 million that you referred to is the decrease of the contingency that we made as a result of the change to the budget from the draft. The resulting contingency is 3 million.
Okay. So it was
4, it's now 3.
Right. Sorry, I just pulled that off there. Yep.
For that
thank you.
Question. Jonathan.
So, Xavier, we've got Avery waiting to talk, but just to highlight one other point in relation to this, I think we exchanged via the CWG some discussions with you about the impact of the proposed new structure and so on. And from memory, the first cut at that and was by definition had to be relatively rough was around $500,000 a year.
Correct.
Yeah. So they're just to make people aware, there's been some dialogue between ICANN Finance and the CWG chairs to try, and that's gone back into the CWG to try and understand the impact of the new structure on ICANN's ongoing operating expenses.
Correct. Absolutely accurate. The only comment on that is that we had not, in that exercise that you're referring to, Jonathan, tried to determine an impact on the budget of ICANN of new accountability mechanisms. I think we have Avery and then James.
Okay. Thank you. Just Avery speaking. Just a quick question. One, is this including both the CWG and the CCWG?
Yes.
Okay, I'd missed that. And which piece of this is including all of the travel and the meetings we're having to all these places? Is that the T&M?
The second column from the left.
So that's actually lower than I thought it was. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. James.
Quick question, and I apologize if you covered it and I missed it due to lunch, but this is still separate from the new GTLD program budget, which is tracked separately?
Nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it.
Right, so it's not commingled because I have some questions on the revenue assumptions for that. Thank you.
The we have three segregated operations, for lack of better words, at ICANN. We have the ICANN operations where all of us are, all the work happens, where the revenue happens. We have then, that's one. We have then the new GTLD program. Application fees, expenses exclusively specific to the program, and the remainder that's currently estimated to be about 80, 89 million. The remaining funds to cover for future risks, future costs on the program.
So where is that revenue recognized?
In a separate ledger.
In
separate,
separate
books.
Okay.
And when we, I only showed the ICANN operations in the previous slides.
Okay.
And in the budget, you can see both components separated.
And
we
then
have separate bank accounts. We have separate accounts. We have
And I remember, there were some very good reasons why we wanted to keep those separate. But
absolutely.
Is there some point in the future where you envision that those will be merged back into a universal budget?
I don't think the program was designed so that that's the case. So at this stage, we don't have any plans to do that.
Okay.
The third piece, I mentioned three pieces. The third piece is the auction funds, 59 million right now. They're also segregated from the new GTLD related revenues and expenses. They're also in separate bank accounts. And the only costs that are applied against those are the actual auctions costs. Yes.
Just to clarify one point there, you mentioned this figure of around 89 million.
Correct.
This is the reserve fund, and because there's also the residue from the new GTLD program. Can you just clarify the difference between the residue, if you like, the unspent contingency and the reserve fund?
So, I apologize. It's a coincidence. It's the same amount, but it's two separate funds.
That's what I spotted, that they were the same amount, which is why I wanted to check that. Thank you.
We'll try to make it different next time.
We can help you.
Well, if we continue spending on the USG transition, by definition, the reserve fund is going to decrease. Michele.
Thanks, Xavier. Michele Nealon for the record. Two quick things. One, thank you. It's good to see money being put back into staffing and resourcing on the policy work, because the policy team, I think, does some fantastic work, and it would be nice for them to have life work balance again at some point.
I'm going to try to transfer to the policy department.
Well, that would mean you'd get to move back to Europe, so I suppose you'd welcome that. One of the things, though, that does concern me a little with the way you have this siloed out, and I think that's part of the question a couple of us have been asking around, you know, the funding. At the moment, there's no clear separate silo for IANA functions.
Sorry, there's no clear separate?
There's no clear separate silo associated with the IANA functions. So that means also there's no clear separate silo with respect to expenditure or revenue.
Correct.
Right. So assuming that there is some form of transition, whether or not ICANN ends up managing part or parts of the post-transition thing, whatever the hell that is, have you done any work up to now on how you're actually going to handle that? Because the RIRs, the RIRs and the CCTLDs, you know, they're putting funding in, which is in part or all related to IANA stuff. And obviously, both registrars and registries, a section of what we're paying in is covering this.
So, thank you, Michele. I'll try to keep it short because we're running out of time. You're correct. There's no currently segregation of the activities and funding of the IANA functions within ICANN today. The IANA functions has a department. It's a separate department in ICANN where all the resources, the people basically, and their associated costs are recognized. But just like there is a finance department, there's a policy department and so on. So it's not a silo, to your point. And there's no specific part of the resources of ICANN, its revenues, that is designated for covering the IANA functions. So we have not in the staff tried yet to do a lot of work on that because we're waiting for the proposals on the future state to be advancing, but there has been discussions in the design team, notably, of the CWG, on what should that look like in the future. And we will support, of course, this work to help define and provide numbers behind this idea. But certainly the funding of a PTI needs to be determined, right? If PTI being the separate IANA function shell, that would be determined. So the funding needs to be determined. How has not yet fully been answered, I think. I'm looking at Chuck at the same time because he's part of that. Thank you. Michele, this is an old and or a new and? Thank you. If there's no more question, next subject. Next slide, please. And Jax will provide you an overview of the enterprise risk management that he leads.
Hello, my name is Jax Kawaja. For those of you that don't know me, I think some of you may. I used to work in contractual compliance. Now I manage the Enterprise Risk Management Department at ICANN. For those of you that don't know what ERM for short is, it was actually created in middle to late 2013. The reason I'm here is to briefly introduce the department to you, the program, and give you guys a high-level understanding of what we do for the organization. When I say organization, I mean the whole model, multi-stakeholder model, to deliver to our mission. As you can see on the slide above, I don't want to get into the details, but basically we basically handle risks like any other organization, where we identify the risks, we measure and evaluate that risk, and we respond to it in an appropriate fashion. A few months ago, we reached out to the SO and AC and SG chairs and solicited feedback. Many of you responded to those requests where we've asked for risks. What do you think the risks are that we face? And we appreciate your response for that. It was on behalf of the co-chairs of the risk committee. And essentially, the reason I'm here is to just basically let you know that we're here to help. If you guys want to bring anything to our attention in enterprise risk management, we can definitely address it and work with the community to figure out how to resolve those risks as we identify them. As you can see on the top, it's just the process. We identify the risk, we evaluate it, we prioritize it, then we respond. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay. So this is just an overall roadmap for enterprise risk management so that everyone gets a flavor of what we've been working on for the last year and a half. We've been closely aligning ourselves to the 5-year strategic and operating plans. If you actually refer to both plans, you'll see a set of risks and dependencies that we've basically evaluated with management, with the community, and so on. Essentially, every strategic objective has risks. And so risk management integrates ourselves in that management system to basically make sure we're paying attention to that to make sure we're successful in our initiatives. That's the first line up there where we concluded in fiscal year 15. Towards the end of this month, we're going to be finished. The second line up there, the framework and methodology, we've been developing that framework for the last year and a half. Not only the framework, but the methodology and the approach to handling risks for ICANN. That is always being evaluated because it's continuous. Our risk profile as an organization changes constantly. With the USG transition, obviously it's going to change again, so we're trying to prepare for that. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, the SOAC and SGs, we reached out to you in January and then again in April to gain some insights from you in terms of what the risks are, what you guys feel the risks are, and that way we can address them at that point. And finally, we're going to be publishing an annual risk report, the first for ICANN, in Q1, most likely early Q2 timeframe, where we'll give a little bit more insight as to what we've been able to accomplish in fiscal year 15, and hopefully it'll give you a little bit more information on what ERM is and what we've done for the organization and the multi-stakeholder model. At this point, I'd like to open it up for questions if you have any. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to Carol. Sure, Avery.
Jax, just one addition to what you said. For those of you who don't know, there is a board committee dedicated to risks, to risk management. So it demonstrates what Jax was indicating earlier, that the risk management is part of the entire organization, and it starts from the top. And the board has a committee that meets very regularly to ensure that the entire organization manages risks. And that's the committee that Jax supports. And it's a very active committee, a lot of competence in that committee. It's co-chaired by Ram Mohan and Mike Silber, for information. There are two questions.
Thank you. This is Marília Maciel speaking. Just a quick question. The inquiry that you have made with the chairs of SOs and ACs, is it published anywhere? Because we know our responses. It would be nice to know what other parts of the organization perceive as risks as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So we've collected a variety of risks, and what we did was we analyzed those against our current risk registry that we have for the organization. The only risks that have been published thus far were to a request from the CCWG. Many of the risks that was a response, Bruce Tonkin. There was an inquiry to Bruce Tonkin on the board. We published a list of our risks. Many of the risks that we've collected from the SOs and ACs were actually mapped against our risk register. There were only a few outliers to that entire list that you'll find on the web if you were to do a search on it. Those outliers we're actually analyzing right now from the SOs and ACs. And we're going to be reaching out to them soon to verify if we truly understand the risks that they presented to us. So currently, that's the only list that's published at this point. Avery?
Quick question, and it's probably relatively tangential, but why would a risk analysis roadmap, et cetera, be something that was privileged and confidential?
That shouldn't be on there. That's an error. You're welcome. Good question.
Thanks. Stephanie Perrin for the record. Just a comment, really, although it's also a question, I guess. When we receive for input to the risk register, particularly for those who aren't in the habit in a large organization of responding to requests for input to a risk register, it was difficult to frame it. We didn't necessarily know whether you were looking for high-level risks, in other words, the financial risk, for instance, or the internet governance risk generally, or faith in ICANN. I see that as a big risk. So it's very hard to situate. It would be very useful in future if you'd show us the framework, and we can give you low-level risks, you know, a burnout on the working group level. We can give you medium-level risks, but we need to know what you're looking for. And to just say, pick your two big risks, well, that's not helpful. And most people aren't familiar with the COSO framework, so you've got to walk us through that, you know? Thank you.
A very valuable comment. It's interesting. After we submitted that request to the SO and AC chairs, I'd realized that we haven't had the chance to get out in front of you and communicate what the model is, how we do it, what we do. And so it seems a bit out of alignment. And that's why we came here today, to do that. Apologize for the misalignment. But we will get it right going forward. This is going to be a continuous process. And for the COSO, for those of you that don't know, it's a well-received, well-accepted model. It stands for the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations. The model we use under COSO is the Internal Controls Integrated Framework, and that's the risk part of the model that's used in the U.S. It's mainly used by publicly traded companies, and we leverage that model because it's flexible. It's flexible. If we do a DNS risk assessment, the output could easily integrate into that model, and so that's primarily why we use it. So.
For those of us who are risk junkies, can we follow the board risk group that meets? Is that public or is that a board confidential group?
We publish the notes. We publish the meeting minutes and the results of that on our website.
So okay, great. Thanks.
Olivier?
Yeah, thank you very much. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. And the question I had is, what risk management framework did you use for this? So are you using ISO 31000 or
COSO.
NIST 800 or?
COSO. COSO. The COSO framework?
Okay.
I think I just mentioned it. But, you know, we've used ISO for the DNS risk assessment. We've used NIST for cybersecurity assessments, but in the end, what we use in ERM is COSO, the full framework.
We're going to I think, because we need to have some updates on dashboards, and if we can go quickly through that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to give a very high overview because I recognize we're almost out of time. And I want to make sure that we just cover it. As many of you know, we've been continuing to work on what we'll call the KPI dashboard, and this is just an overall principle that different metrics are used at different elements within our process, from the high-level goal and objective we use for a strategic, and that's what we're initially publishing is what I'll call the first level of the dashboard effort, and that's planned to correspond with the next stakeholder call, which is anticipated to be 20 August. This meeting here, we're going to actually do some sharing of some prototypes because it's in development and get some feedback in an informal way. This is just the approach we took, and I just wanted to highlight that we recognize there are many metrics, and we are using a lot right now at the operational day-to-day level, and we're sharing some of those, but we're sharing on a bigger picture a dashboard that's coming in 20 August. Can we go to the next slide, please? What we've completed thus far is we've done the alignment and tied it to our structure. We've done the portfolio dashboards are currently in use. We are in the process, as I've said, of sharing. And our next two is, I've said, the August date, and we'll continue to refine in advance. This is just a quick update of where we were in building the dashboard that you'll be seeing shortly. Next slide, please. This is the actual prototype, the dashboard, and it shows you that we're starting at the 5 objective level and putting a scoring and a component for each one of the 5 objectives. We've put together how to read the objective and a little bit of the scoring input, and if you think that these scores are not strong enough, you can see that we've focused the on target to be a very high number for a high quality purpose of delivering on a high level. Go to the next slide, please. This is the second level. This is going down into each one of the goals. So for every objective, it shows you the goals that were in the 5-year operating plan and in the 5-year strategic plan and how we're doing against each one of those goals in a traffic light format. Next slide, please. When you get to this level, you will actually see each one of the KPI charts, and there's just one sample. This one is of the financials, but we actually have multiple of these, and we'll be rolling them out as part of that process. And it shows that there's 3 levels, so you can look everything from the objective level to the goal level to the specific chart itself in terms of how it's designed and formatted. I'm going to stop there. That was what we're kind of giving an overview from the dashboard level. If there's any questions, I'll take them. Otherwise, I'll go straight on to the organizational excellence effort that's going on.
Avery has a question.
Yeah, Avery Doria again with a question. Sorry. Who does and how are these grades evaluated? Is the community taken into account at all in making these measurements? Is it just the board? Is it senior members of staff? How's that all done?
Two-part answer. The actual key performance indicator that was established was partly done when we were building the 5-year strategic plan based off the key success factors and also based off of the 5-year operating plan and now the annual operating plan. We're incorporating a lot of the feedback we're getting into building those KPIs. In terms of the actual scoring, those are being developed by each one of the goal owners appropriate to that particular KPI, and many of them will be sharing them with the community and building those strong KPIs over time. It's not a quick fix, so to answer your question, there's going to be some community dialogue on the actual KPIs and get more feedback on each individual one and the score.
Just to add a bit to that, so it's a little bit like the budget, basically. The staff prepares a list of KPIs that's associated at each project level and at each portfolio level. And we have put through public comments the 5-year operating plan that contained KPIs, and there's been a lot of comments provided by the community to refine, clarify, or indicate we don't think that's a good KPI. And that input is taken into account into revisions then of the dashboard that will contain all those KPIs. So it's been through staff drafting, board reviews, and community input that it has.
Thank you. If I can follow up. And I accept that on the KPIs in terms of developing them and all that. But actually, the grading, that's pretty much a self-grading. Is that what I understood, that basically the staff responsible for the thing is the one that's grading?
It depends on the KPI. So when the KPI is how well we are doing versus our budget of expenses, for example, it's a number. Right, I mean, it's factual. So we are trying to make those KPIs as factual as technically possible. It's challenging, of course, as it relates, for example, to outreach. How do you measure outreach? So we are trying to find tangible activities that are proxies to measuring outreach. It's not easy. So a lot of the comments that we've received is about, well, is this actually measuring outreach or is it not? What would better measure outreach? So we're trying to have the KPIs as numerical as possible. It's losing a bit sometimes the sense of quality or subjectivity that is embedded in certain activities. But we're trying to make it very transparently arithmetical so that there's no question as to exactly the question that you're asking. Well, if you rate yourself well, then the KPI is going to look good, right? So we are trying to make it very straightforward. And the definition of the KPIs that will be part of the dashboard is this is what it is, this is how it's calculated, and this is why it is 94. So that will be. But your comments in the future on the dashboard and how it effectively is transparent on what the KPI is and what the activity has been and why the rating results the way it does will be very useful, because at the end of the day, it's for transparency as well as management.
I would also say that if you we're going to be going to the information booth, and if you want to kind of see some of that, we'll be reaching out to individuals, and if anyone would like to come and see more details of that prototype, we will be happy to show you some of that and get more feedback, including the scoring that you mentioned, Aubrey, as well.
Carol, for the expense of time, we are 15 minutes over your timing. We have a more comprehensive public session on operations Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. in the Aguila room. I'm sure a lot of you will be conflicted with others, other meetings, but for those of you who can participate, we welcome you very much. So thank you very much for your time. That was very nice of you to accommodate.
Xavier, Jacques, Carol, thank you very much for your time and for what you've spoken with us about. I see that perhaps Chuck has a question.
A comment. Thanks, Chuck Gomes. I don't think we should end this without recognizing, I think, three things. Number one, first of all, I compliment the council in submitting comments on the budget process. That was great. I'm really glad to see that. But secondly, a lot of people don't realize the significance of where we're at right now with regard to the budget process. The very fact that we had comments in time that changes could be made and were made is great and fantastic, and it's compliments to Xavier and Carol and their team. The great work on the dashboard and the risk management is excellent. But also, I'd call to your attention the summary of public comments. Not only was there time to deal with them for the first time before the board acts, but there's a very thorough analysis of the comments, and it's clear where they weren't able to respond, it's clear where they did, and it's clear where changes were made. So I think great compliments are due to you and your team and everyone that contributed to that.
Thanks, Chuck. I'll second that. I think it's great, and it's obviously very gratifying for us as a policy management body to see not only were our comments taken account of, but there was a direct impact, and you were able to report that back to us, Xavier. So, you know, to be clear, two full-time equivalents in policy staff added, which is helpful to our work and recognize the need for it. So thank you very much. It's a very useful update. And I think if anyone is interested in taking it further, you've highlighted that you have an additional public session. So great.
Thank you very much for the feedback.
Good. We can stop the recording there.